Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a combined project of KCBX and our team of program hosts. Today on Central Coast Voices, host Friend Monroe and two members of the San Luis Obispo City's DEI team will take a look at the city's efforts to assist residents, staff, and visitors to develop a true sense of belonging. Diversity and equity inclusion are the major city goals for 2025 through 27. For this community, this effort is a long-term goal. We invite you to listen, learn, and participate in our conversation. We are live today and able to take your calls at 805-781-3875, or you can email them to us at voices@kcbx.org. And with that, let's join Fred Monroe and his guests. Over to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate that. Before I forget, based upon Brad's reminder, we generally have a difficulty sorting through emails during the program, so we will pass along any questions you have by email to our guests, but it's difficult for us to get to those during the program. It's better if you give us a phone call at 805-781-3875. You are not obligated to be on the program live. Brad can pass your questions and concerns along.
Happy to do
us.
It. Yeah.
Okay. My guests today are Matt Pennon, he's the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Manager, and Samantha Vaithavanam, who's the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Administrative Specialist. Yeah. Okay. We'll take a look at the City of San Luis Obispo's efforts to make sure that residents, city staff, and visitors are all valued for what they bring to the community. This is a community where the concept of access and belonging are key goals, making sure every voice is heard. The City of San Luis Obispo has as a 2025 through 2027 major city goal, diversity and equity inclusion. Just for clarification and to give my guests some breathing room, yes, we know that in a lot of regards this has become a national topic based upon the use of those words. City of San Luis Obispo has done a wonderful job of integrating those concepts into their city goals, and we'll talk about that. This is not a political discussion, and yes, we understand some of you might find those terms to be a little outside the realm of what government is doing. That's probably a discussion for some other time. And with that, I'll turn it over to my guests and probably start with Matt as the manager. Give us some idea how in the world this became a major city project in the City of San Luis Obispo, because it's very unusual that it is.
Well, thank you, Fred, for having both of us on here and for the warm welcome. I would just like to say that when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion, within the City of San Luis Obispo specifically, our city has always been the leader in making sure that every resident, whether you live here, work here, or are visiting here, and we cannot forget the students that are going to school here, that you belong in everything that is happening, that is going on within the City of San Luis Obispo. And just as important as that, we want to make sure that everybody has access to our city government. So that's access to our transit services, access to our parking, to our wonderful downtown, to all the hiking trails, and access to have your voice heard when it comes to our city council meetings and the vast array of advisory bodies that we have within our city as well.
City of San Luis has a Human Relations Council or Human Relations Commission.
Human Relations Commission. You got it right.
Okay. And that is a reasonably uncommon concept for a city to have.
So there are some cities in the state of California that we're aware of that do have that commission. I know for our city, that is one of the oldest commissions that we have. Samantha might be able to remind me when ours was put into place.
1960-something. It was 1960-something. Three, maybe?
Okay.
But yeah, it's pretty old. So I think
that's 60 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's not a new concept, but there are still some cities who have not incorporated that kind of thing. As I was going through the information that you both shared with me pre-program, so I had some idea, One of the things that truly jumped out at me, and it may be a minor topic for you, but it was very startling for me, was that one of the goals that comes up and one of the questions that you get from people in the community is, how do I make a comment at a city council meeting or a comment at a commission? It never occurred to me that there may be a lot of people who feel less included in the community to the extent that how they go about showing up at a council meeting, showing up at a planning commission meeting, and speaking their mind may be an intimidating process for them or completely outside their ability to proceed. How often does that come up, and how do you address that?
Yeah, well, every time we're out in the public, we always want to encourage folks to come give public comment, whether that's at city council meetings or any one of our advisory bodies. We have many at the city that cover a range of topics that folks could be interested in. You mentioned the Human Relations Commission. We have a tree committee. We have active transportation, parks and rec. There's a lot of different facets to the city, and we have a lot of advisory bodies that help our city council. And so, yeah, I think we always want to encourage folks to come give public comment. You can do that in a number of ways. You can show up in person and give public comment right there on the spot, or you can also provide your public comment ahead of the meeting if you're maybe not able to join in person. You can do that via email, via voicemail, or even via mail. Yeah, we think it's incredibly important for people to come and provide their voice and provide their input. And we know there are many barriers to doing so. Like you mentioned, it's very intimidating sometimes to feel like you can go and speak in front of your elected officials. And we always encourage folks to look through agendas, look through the reports, reach out to staff if you have certain questions. We're always happy to answer those. Our information is on the city's website as well. And, you know, we're also working on a lot of language access work within our office, and we do offer translation for folks who need it, as long as they ask ahead of time.
I'm wondering how different subcultures, if you will, within our city might find these barriers more challenging. I mean, I realize that I'm a 70-plus-year-old white guy that's been involved in government and community for most of my life. So, and I'm not shy about having my concerns and my questions answered and asked. How do you look at the population you're serving that feels like they are on the fringe? Because to some extent, the issues of inclusion imply that there's an awful lot of people who don't feel included now.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely correct. So when it comes to that, we have trusted community partners that are advisors to us, but they are also the folks that are out there working with these populations that feel excluded from our city government, from things that many of us take for granted on that day-to-day basis. So within the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, we are really focused on developing partnerships, collaborations, making sure that our message not only comes from us as city government, but also from our trusted partners that we're working with to make sure that everybody, regardless of whether you are confident in your speaking abilities or you're nervous, we want to make sure that everybody has access to our services. I would like to say that we have an amazing city clerk's office with an amazing team that is always there to support individuals or groups when they want to provide public comment or just trying to seek resources. Our office as well is there as a resource to make sure that we can coach you through the process of providing public comment. Typically, you have about 3 minutes. We do like to let people know that you are being recorded, it is being broadcasted, but we don't want that to be a barrier because your right, and I would argue your responsibility as a member of our community, is really to have your voice heard. I think we talked a little bit about this, and I know Samantha and I talk about this often, is about like the lost art of communication. fortunately, we all went through a pandemic together. We are going through a lot of like changes in society right now. But the fundamental portion of that is making sure that we are communicating with one another. And oftentimes it seems like we've shied away from having difficult conversations or being uncomfortable in our access and the work that we're doing. And that's where Sam and I come in, along with the rest of our city staff, to make sure that everybody truly does have that access. If you don't feel comfortable getting up and speaking, we're happy to help you write an email so that you can get your message across. I think we should also acknowledge that you should be reaching out to your city council and our mayor, any of the commissioners. They are there to listen and to help amplify your voice so that we can create a city where everybody does belong. And oftentimes, practitioners of this work of community belonging are really focused on that sense of belonging or that feeling of belonging. But for Sam and I and our entire team, we're focused on the action of belonging. It's a verb. So it means that we need to be doing this work. And I always like to think about the fact of diversity, equity, and inclusion as standalones. If we don't do this work, I always ask myself, what are we left with? And when I think about what we're left with, it's really scary to me to think about those things, because I don't want to be raising children. I don't want to be working in a society, in a community that is excluding individuals, that is perpetuating inequality, and where everybody looks the same and sounds the same. Diversity is our strength. It is our job to figure out what those differences are, harness those, and turn them into strengths and help people amplify their voices within our community.
And can I just add one more plug about public comment, just because I think civic engagement is so important. And I've worked at different levels of government, like doing federal advocacy, state advocacy. And I think the coolest thing about local government is that it is much more accessible to get your voice heard. And so I think that's a really important factor about working at the city, is that it's much more accessible for folks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before I forget, I want to remind folks, you're welcome to be a part of this conversation. The phone number is 805-781-3875. You do not have to go live on the air. You can pass your concerns along to Brad, our engineer, and he'll share them with us. You also can email us at voices@kcbx.org, and we'll pass your questions and concerns along to our guests. And if you prefer to have something passed along confidentially, you can note that in your email also. One of the things that I think becomes a key factor is that people assume that DEI programs imply to minority groups, and that there's somehow underrepresented minority groups in the community, and that there's a list of those. And my hunch is, and I maybe like you to both expand upon this, a lot of it may come down to, if I feel like I'm not included, it doesn't matter what my reason for that is. The bottom line is, we're trying to make sure people don't feel not included. So I'm wondering, I mean, it's not whether or not you're an ethnic minority, a language minority, a physical limitation minority. I mean, it is – I don't want this to sound silly. It is conceivable that you may be someone who believes you're not listened to because you're bald. And we don't get to decide what people find that makes them outside of the realm of people who are addressed and listened to. And I'm wondering how you look at that.
Well, number one, I want to acknowledge the fact that words have power. So when we talk about assumptions, that is not based in factual information and the reality of the situation. So that is part of the reason that the city of San Luis Obispo has invested so much time and effort and has an Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, is because we clearly acknowledge that everybody has the right and the ability to be involved in our city government. And that is part of the work that Samantha and I are doing, is making sure that if you have ever felt excluded for whatever reason, just so that you know, like, we are here to listen to you, to make sure that you are included in the conversations. It's a really important factor. And I think we are at a state in our larger community right now where so many folks have felt excluded in the process and not had a seat at the table to voice their opinion, to voice their grievances. We also have to focus on, like, folks' lived experience, their professional experience, their cultural experiences, their linguistic experiences. Those are all things that help us develop a better sense of belonging and identify actions of belonging where we can make sure that everybody's really included. Samantha and I work out of City Hall. We are walking through the city on a daily basis. We are commuting across the city. And in everything that we do, we are aware of all the individuals, families, communities that are involved in our city. And it's really important that we hear from everybody, that you have access to your government so that we can take that feedback, that input, those comments, those questions, those concerns, and digest them, understand them, and make sure that the work that all of our departments, whether it's fire, PD, public works, utilities, administration, IT, that we are truly doing the work for the people, for our community, and making sure that we remain a beacon, a city where everybody is included in the process.
Yeah. Your major city goal for 25 to 27 is indeed diversity, equity, and inclusion. Both of you, from our earlier conversation, I am aware, have only been in your positions within the city within the last year. Mm-hmm. As you stepped in, and I don't want to get either of you in trouble with the boss, within the time that you've stepped into the process, are there any particular things that you both have background working in this kind of discipline, but any surprises that came to you as to things that were either not being addressed or did not even show up on the radar until you started looking at what was going on in the city?
So for me, one of the great things about working at a city level, like Sam alluded to in the conversation, is like the direct impact that we have on our community. It's something that we see, we can feel, we watch evolving every day. We have a ton of responsibilities within this one major city goal, and there are six major city goals, but we're tasked with diversity, equity, inclusion. Within that, I've been spending a lot of time with our police department, where that's a very different culture. It's a different family. But they are on the front lines of the work that we're doing within our city. They are dealing with all the individuals that live, work, are visiting here. Sometimes they're dealing with folks that are having the best experiences of their day. Other times they're dealing with folks that are having some really challenging experiences, as well as some dangerous experiences. But in the 6 months that I've been in my role and really getting to know everybody from our chief all the way down to our patrol officers, I've really gotten to see that passion, that desire, that commitment that they have to our community and to creating a family, a culture that really leans upon our differences and turns those into our strengths so that the services that we provide to the residents, the visitors, the college students that are here within our community are impactful and done in a caring, authentic, and I would venture to say trauma-informed way.
Yeah, I would piggyback on that. There wasn't anything that I noticed that was missing or was a large gap, but I was really actually surprised and heartened to see how involved our police department was in this work and in the work of the community. So
the community that you're working with has a remarkable aspect to it that for a lot of people may not be a factor, and that is probably with the exception of Morro Bay or Cambria, there are more tourist visitors to the city of San Luis Obispo than anywhere else on the Central Coast. I don't think we've ever until I looked at the notes that you provided with me for some background information, it didn't occur to me that a major goal of your program would be dealing with the DEI concepts important to a tourist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what kind of calls or emails do you get from people who are planning to visit or who have visited that I can provoke some reevaluation of what you are or are not doing.
So I just want to take a step back and kind of like talk a little bit about like the structure of city administration. We are definitely biased because we are the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. But within that, we partner with our Economic Development and Tourism Office, who has just as an amazing team as we do. They're really focused on tourism. They're really focused on our business partners within the city, which includes downtown. It includes all parts of our city. So they tend to hear more directly from those individuals than we do. But our access and exposure with those individuals is when we are out at community events, talking to community members, families. And one thing that I think Sam and I see all the time is at a lot of our local events, we would expect to see a lot of like our local residents, which we do. But then in addition to that, we see a heck of a lot of people from all across the state that are coming to our city to partake in some of the smaller events, but even the larger events. And I think that goes to show the type of culture, the type of community that we are really striving to create and really focused on this positive evolution towards an area where you can be your true, authentic self walking down the street with your family and friends mm-hmm. and be accepted and included in everything that we're doing within our amazing city here, and I would argue on, you know, the beautiful Central Coast.
Yeah, and I think I'm new-ish to the city. I moved a little over a year ago. So I knew somewhat of San Luis Obispo, but I didn't know a ton. But when I moved here, I learned about the really, really rich cultural history of this city. And I think that is a really important factor, especially for people who are visiting and they want to walk around downtown. There's a lot of cultural sites in our downtown that people pass over every day. So that's another thing we, Matt and I, are working on, is how do we amplify that and show that and celebrate that rich history.
What kind of phone calls do you get from visitors, or phone calls or emails you get from visitors that are kind of looking for, doing some research, if you will, as to whether or not this is a place that they would choose to visit?
I don't know that I or Sam have received any phone calls or emails yet from visitors.
But people can reach out if they want to talk about
yes.
it.
Yes, and I will tell you the best way to get a hold of us for anybody that's listening is our email address is dei@slowcity.org, slocity.org. If a individual or family was reaching out looking to gather more information about staying here, visiting here, we would definitely provide them with a wealth of resources and information. I think they'd probably reach out to us if they had any concerns about would our family be safe, or, you know, where would areas be that we would want to go that we could see ourselves reflected in the city and the community. And that's part of our task, is making sure that when you are here, that you see yourself, you see your family, your friends. I do want to acknowledge the fact that we are talking about a lot of the positives, but the work that we do too is addressing some of the challenges that we have within our city. So one area is, in recent years, we've had a lot of hate incidents that have happened in different neighborhoods in downtown. And we are working very closely with our office, law enforcement, our different community partners to really identify those areas. We have a new, responding to hate toolkit that we are working on that we're going to be launching for the community probably in like spring 2026.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of our goals, too, is making sure that when we are out in the community and providing toolkits and resources, that there is something tangible that community members, visitors have so that they can take action. They can report incidents. They can also have conversations to move towards that action of belonging for everybody.
I suspect that regardless of how much you can put together in a program like that, there will be lessons to learn and new information to share because everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that what you work with on a daily basis is people's differences become – it comes to the surface as to why they would want to have a conversation with you anyway. If everything is going exactly the way I want – the likelihood that I want to make sure I'm included or part of the diversity project would not be big factors because I would already feel like it fits for me. But I'm sure there's a lot of people in the community that don't have that luxury, for lack of a better word.
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you are somebody experiencing poverty or being unhoused, are you going to be focused on access to city government? Or are you going to be focused on finding housing, education, medical resources for your family, yourself, or your children? Those are things that we have to be aware of. And that's part of the reason that we are doing this work. And we look at it as work that is ever evolving, mm-hmm. Where if we need to be at a different location at a different time to engage with our community, that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break, and I want to remind folks that we'll be back to you in a few minutes. We will gladly take your calls at 781-3875. We're going to I'm sorry, Brad, do we need to take this call before the break? Or no, okay, we're fine. Okay, we'll be back with you. We are dealing with folks from the City of San Luis Obispo's Diversity, Inclusion, Equity and Inclusion office at the City of San Luis Obispo, of course. You're welcome to give us a call at 805-781-3875. We'll be back with you in a moment or two. This has been Central Coast Voices.
You're invited to a day of music and community on Saturday, November 22nd. Central Coast Sessions, a benefit for KCBX, is coming to Slow Brew Rock from noon to 9 on the 22nd, featuring some of our best local musicians. It's up to our community to keep KCBX strong. Here's your chance to help and have fun at the same time. Performers include Jade Jackson, Hot 45, Two Paper Squares, Be in the Hive, and many more. See the full lineup and get your tickets at kcbx.org.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, next time on Latino USA. The star of the HBO It Show of the Moment, Task, Raul Castillo, joins me for guacamole and totopos.
I just need to add some, and then you're going to give me the taste test.
Yes.
And you have to just be honest.
Amazing.
That's next time on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, dream scientist Michelle Carr. She runs a sleep lab where she studies people as they're dreaming with a focus on nightmares and lucid dreaming. She'll talk about her new book, Nightmare Obscura, and how she says we can change our recurring nightmares. Join us.
That's a look ahead today on our Thursday here on KCBX with Latino USA coming up following this program from 2 till 3. Then it's Fresh Air from 3 to 4 and Marketplace from 4 to 4:30. Right now, let's return to Fred Monroe and his guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Fred, and we will have a couple of calls coming up.
Okay,
in just
great.
A couple
We've got
of
a couple
moments.
Of calls coming in.
Yeah,
just a
let me talk to these folks, and then we'll tee them up for you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. We have Matt Pennon, who's the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Manager for the City of San Luis Obispo. The only city I've ever dealt with or looked at that actually has that title for a staff member. Anyway, Samantha Vathianum. I got that wrong.
Vathavanam,
sorry, anyway,
okay.
Who is the administrative specialist for DEI programs in San Luis Obispo. Remind you that we will gladly take your calls. This is an unusual topic to have a discussion with the city about because this is an unusual program for a city to have a program with. So we'll go from there. Let me double check. Brad, are you? Oh, he's not coming up with that yet. Sorry. Let's a sub-question, if you will. There is a belonging project in the works in the city. You made the mistake of putting it in your notes, so you're going to get an ask from me about it. Can you tell me about that a little bit?
It wasn't a mistake, but you just helped us get this out in the community. We've been talking about it internally. We are really excited about this project. Over the past 2 years, we've had the Community Belonging Series events that happened prior to Sam and I coming on board, and then we kind of like took the reins at the very end. Mm-hmm. And we were really thinking about the terminology of access to a city government and the action of belonging. How do we make sure everybody's connected? And we came up with the idea of the Belonging Project, where we knew that as a city, we have the ability to get our message heard, but also we have the opportunity to provide space for community members, businesses, local nonprofits, experts in fields, storytellers from our indigenous communities to come in and share about the work that they're doing or the history of our city that connects all of us together. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Belonging Project is about. Okay. It's going to happen on a quarterly basis. We're going to start sharing that via social media, on our website, email. And I'll let Sam talk more about some of the events that we have planned.
Okay. Sam, we're going to hold on. We've got a couple of callers, and
sure.
and I'm always concerned if we let them sit on hold too long, they'll go away. So we'll start with
Let's see.
Okay. So, Sarah, you are on the air.
Hi there. I was just calling to see. I know that DEI can sometimes be a little bit of a politically charged acronym in today's day and age, and I was just wondering if there's some misconceptions you guys can maybe clear up for the general public who maybe don't delve too deep into DEI on their day to day.
Go right ahead, Sam.
Thank you, Sarah, for that question. I think that is unfortunately accurate. There are a lot of misconceptions. I think we talked a little bit about one of them is that DEI is for specific populations or only historically marginalized or underrepresented groups. It is not. Diversity, equity, inclusion means everyone. It is for everyone. I think another common misconception is that it means a checkbox or you're filling a quota. That is also not the case. Diversity, equity, inclusion is about increasing access and opportunity for folks and creating as much of a level playing field as you can. You know, I think many of us know about the historical and systemic kind of discrimination and issues of our past and how that's kind of created an uneven playing field for many folks. And so diversity, equity, and inclusion is just about lifting some folks up, but while providing access and opportunity for everyone.
Great. Sarah, thanks for asking. I think it's an important question, and we've done our best to make this a non-political topic today, so I thank you for at least asking the question.
I agree. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thanks, Sarah.
Let me see. Hold on a second. Bill in Grover Beach, are you there, Bill?
I am.
What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to give you an attaboy for all the good work that they've done, and I've been a charter member of the Spoco Access Group for the last 40 years, and we've never had to raise our voices to make things happen. And I'm really happy to use the curb cuts that have been made, and I think you can be proud of the work you've done.
Well, thank you so much for that. It's always good to hear anybody's feedback and comments when we talk about the work that we're doing. This work is really about our community. And when we use the terminology community, just because we work for the city of San Luis Obispo does not mean that community is not more expansive than that. And we want to make sure that everybody is really involved in the work that we're doing, because like Samantha said, is this truly is about everybody having their voice heard, having a seat at the table. And when we're talking about metaphors and making sure that everybody has access to that table, sometimes you may not be able to get up and walk over and sit down in that chair. It may take more effort because you have a walker or you are in a wheelchair. Sometimes you can't see where that table is. So how can we expect you to get there? And part of the work of diversity, equity, inclusion is acknowledging those challenges and putting into place safety guards so that everybody can make it to the table together. And then while we're at the table, we're going to be there helping support everybody, because maybe you've never spoke at that table before. Maybe you've been really confident and you've been sitting in that table for the last 30 years, right? We want to make sure that when you're there with us, and when you're on that path to being included, that you have the tools, the resources that you need. And that's part of the work that we do. I could go on and talk about language access and things like that. But we really honor your lived experience, your cultural experience, as well as your professional experience. We want to make sure that those are things that we openly, honestly, and actively discuss in our conversations and the work that we're doing.
Bill, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that these things even have to be discussed, that it should be obvious that we do need to help everybody feel included.
It's an ongoing conversation.
And yes.
Actually, okay. Bill, you've been a regular listener and caller. We've been having some aspect of this conversation for a long time, and we'll continue to do so.
Yeah, thanks, Fred.
Thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Let's see. Hold on a second. Oh, there we go. Rosemary in San Luis Obispo, you're on the air.
Hi. This is Rosemary Baxter, and I belong to the senior center and in a walking group. So although I don't live in the area, I do walk in the area. And I'm wondering if children are part of your DEI. They don't get to vote, is the thing. And they're not opening the mail.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard that the Emerson Park field is going to be turned into a dog park. And where are the children going to play then, after school or on their weekends, whether it's organized team practice or just an impromptu game with all their neighborhood friends? We've already lost one of those kind of fields over in the Vicente Drive area in Laguna Lake. The kids could play there. You could bring your dog in there. It was multi-use.
Yeah. Rosemary, I really appreciate the call. And
children need to be part of your DEI.
Yeah, so I agree with you 100%.
Are they not being heard on this issue? Because I went walking, and it was 100% of our walking group that said, "Oh, they shouldn't take away the field from children. Shouldn't do that. The city should not do that, or parks and recreation.
Yeah.
We're losing fields."
Rosemary, Matt is trying to answer you. Give him a second here. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, number one, thank you for taking the time out of your day to give us a call. Number two, thank you so much for highlighting the fact that the city of San Luis Obispo is proud to be a walkable community. My team and I do walking meetings all the time, so I think we may have to take a different route to experience what you're experiencing. And that's part of the work that we are tasked with doing. When it comes to age, as part of the work of diversity, equity, inclusion, yes, children are included in the process. They are definitely included in a much different way. Like you highlighted, Rosemary, is they can't vote, they can't open the mail, but they should have a voice, and they do have a voice in this work. Parks and Recreation is one of our biggest advocates when it comes to children within the city. We have spent time at our aquatic center, down at our Parks and Recreation department. We also spent this summer going to our Monday meetups and listening to our families and children about what they see, want, and need within our city. One thing that we've really focused on and a way of access accessing children's voice is when we are out in public and we have a booth, we have bubbles at our booth. We have a button-making station where we have really been focused on spending time with our residents and our families and our children. And instead of, you know, the typical booth setup where folks show up and they grab something and then take off, we really want to actually slow that process down, have a conversation, because without that effective, empathetic communication, we cannot do the best work possible. And just like you calling in today and sharing your experience with us, that's exactly what we're doing with families and children. I think the acknowledgement when it comes to diversity, equity, inclusion affecting all of us at all different life stages is extremely important. We are working with our schools to make sure that teachers, children, families are included in that process as well. I would like to highlight the fact, too, that internally, Sam and I oversee a diversity, equity, inclusion committee that is made up of staff across the city organization. And one of our tasks has to do with families, caregivers, and we are actively having conversations and discussions about what that looks like both internally and externally for our entire community, because this work will precede us, and we're thinking about the next generation in this work that we do as well. And I really appreciate your call and your passion around this, because we hold that passion both personally and professionally in the work that we're doing.
Thank you.
Rosemary, thank you for the call. I think it's a key point that had not been on the table of our discussion until you called, so I appreciate that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our phone number is 805-781-3875, and as you can tell from Rosemary's call, there are topics that involve there are groups in this process that maybe are not currently discussed because it's not really proactively been provided by a resident like Rosemary.
Well, I would like to say is in the very beginning of the program, we talked about some of our advisory bodies. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to like that specific situation, our Parks and Recreation has an advisory body, which is a primary space where folks like Rosemary could show up those commission meetings and provide public comment about their vision for our open spaces, our current green spaces as well. You don't have to be a member of a commission to show up and provide public comment. I would encourage everybody to visit our website. If you are lucky enough to be downtown and at City Hall, we have a kiosk out in front that is consistently updated with agendas for City Council and our different commission meetings. That's a great way to be involved and gain access to the city and have your voice heard.
One of the things that we talked about earlier, and I'll emphasize again that that my guests had mentioned, is the easiest and most direct way for you to contact them with any questions or concerns or observations like Rosemary's is DEI@slowcity.org. That's probably one of the easiest email addresses I've seen in a long time. DEI@slowcity.org. If you can't find who you want to talk to in the city of San Luis Obispo, I suspect either Matt or Sam will get the email and pass it along or respond.
We will. And even with that email address, we're showing that we want to make sure that everybody has access to your local city government, whether you live here, work here. We want to have you included in the conversation.
Okay. Before we took some of the calls, because I wanted to make sure our callers were not sitting and listening without being on the program for very long, and we were talking about the Belonging Project. We want to pick up where we left off of that, Matt and
I actually want to turn it over to Sam.
Okay, and then turn it over to Sam. Okay.
Some of the works that we have in the queue, and we hope that folks show up and participate.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I just also wanted to mention with the Belonging Project, like it's kind of a tangible effort that we are doing to increase that feeling of belonging, like Matt said, like to make it a verb. So I just also wanted to give that overarching kind of context. Because we are really looking at very diverse, different groups of individuals throughout the city, throughout the county, who can provide information, do a workshop or maybe a presentation, or even we're talking about doing a walking tour, all to increase folks' feeling of access and belonging, even kids. We want kids to see people that look like them doing things in the community. So with that said, I'll just mention a few of the events that we have in the pipeline. One is actually with the Cal Poly's Spanish language debate team, and they're gonna do a presentation that's like a present and defend is what we've talked about. So they would come and discuss like a very large, broad policy issue, and we'd come up with different ways to address that. And then there would be a panel and folks would vote and the community could get involved as well. We've also been in contact with with the county's public health equity team. They're also in the works of doing a presentation about their work. Like I mentioned, a walking tour. We've been talking with the folks who do the Indigenous walking tour on Cal Poly's campus. We want to open that up to the public so folks can see what's going on there. I think those are the ones that we have sort of queued up. We're also thinking about working with the students and food and how food brings people together. So we have some really exciting things. We all love food. So.
Right. I'm sorry. I had, of course, food. Give me an excuse to eat. That's all I need.
I agree.
Right. And all the vast, array of, cuisines. And then we were thinking about, too, the fact that, when you're eating these foods, there's always a story associated with that. And how do those stories share your experiences and bring us together as a community. Those are things that we're just really passionate about. It's all about education and awareness. It's about the connection that we have within our city as a community. If you haven't figured it out, we're all about partnership and collaboration right now. And we want to make sure that everything that we're doing is sustainable, has a long-term impact, mm-hmm. Not only on this generation, to Rosemary's point, but also to the next generation. That's really, really important because we won't be here doing this work forever. And we want to make sure that, this work goes on for all the next generations and that we're aware of the impact that we're having.
Needless to say, my guests want to make sure that they leave a legacy regardless of how long they stay with the city. So that's nice to see. I know what it was. One of the things that shows up in your notes, Sam, was the citywide single vote project or city voting. And I scratched my head, and I'm still kind of scratching my head, how that fits into the DEI program. Yeah. But I'm counting on you taking a couple of minutes to tell me.
Sure. Yeah. I'll try and be brief. But it fits into the DR office, but it also is kind of a larger whole city effort. And our office is just one piece of that. So basically what is happening is that starting November 2026, the city is changing the way we vote for city council. As of now and prior to November 2026, you would vote for two city council members and the mayor each election. Starting November 2026, you'll be voting for one city council member and the mayor. And the reason for that is we currently do at-large voting, but we're going to switch to the single vote because it helps to give more power for underrepresented groups to choose someone that would represent them. So, yeah, it's a really big push for not only us, but our whole city team to get the word out to ensure that people are voting correctly in the November 2026 election. And particularly, we want to really reach our harder to reach populations like the Latine population, people experiencing homelessness, folks that aren't always connected to city government or city communications. And so that's really kind of the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion's goal. But we really want everyone to be aware, and there'll be a lot more coming from that.
Okay, but that's a significant change that's hard to explain.
Yeah. I don't know that we have I could explain the mechanics behind it and why. I don't know if we have all the time, but it's going to be able to provide a larger voice to underrepresented groups will be able to at least choose one city council member.
And if that becomes a topic that is of specific interest to you, I would suggest that you contact the DEI team at DEI@slowcity.org, and I'm sure they can answer it with some more thorough questions. Matt,
we
you
can.
Want to jump in? Okay, go
and
ahead.
And we also have a public engagement survey that's on our city website right now underneath our elections page. That survey is open until Wednesday, November 26th. So before you have your Thanksgiving meal and celebrate, we would highly encourage, recommend that you take a moment to complete that survey. It should take you less than 5 minutes. But it allows you the opportunity to learn a little bit more about our citywide single vote and also provide feedback to us and the rest of our team working on this project to make sure that as we roll out our communication plan and start engaging with the community at a direct way, that your voice is heard and we can make sure that message is very clear because we want your vote to count. We want you to be included in the process. So feel free to reach out to our team, but also if you go to the city's website under the election page.
Yeah, and you can go to slowcity.org/opencityhall, and the survey will be there. And it's in English and Spanish.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. Well, we're getting kind of wrapping up the show, and as most of our listeners know, I like to make sure that my guests have a chance to kind of have the last word. Samantha, I'm going to start with you. What do you want to make sure everybody remembers about the program that you're involved with the city of San Luis Obispo?
Yeah, I mean, I think I just, again, want to reiterate that diversity, equity, inclusion, this work is for everybody. We work for the city of San Luis Obispo, so the city cannot pick and choose who they want to serve. We serve everyone. The funds that we provide are open to everyone. And yeah, I will plug our two grant programs, I guess, before my time is up. We have two.
You're fine. Go
we
ahead.
We have two grant programs that we administer, a DEI high impact grant and a human services grant. The human services grant is a little more focused on people experiencing homelessness, preventing and reducing that. And the high impact grant is a little more broad. But please definitely go to our website. Check those out. We want to encourage more and more nonprofits who serve city residents to apply. But yeah, I just want to really reiterate our work is for everybody and we want everybody included in the process, whether you agree or not. We'd so love to hear from you and we'd love to hear what your thoughts are and we'd love to sit down and have a conversation. So I would say our door is always open.
True.
You were briefer than I expected.
Oh,
so
sorry.
No, that's okay. Remind our listeners also about the about your commission under
your
purview.
Yes. And we also we are the staff liaisons to the Human Relations Commission, and they deal in human relations issues. So a lot of that is diversity, equity, inclusion, where we are bringing our the voting change outreach engagement plan to them to hear from them who we really need to target. We brought our responding to hate toolkit to them to review as well. And we're there is an open seat currently available. So if you are also really interested and passionate about those topics, please apply. You can find it on our website under the City Clerk's tab. It's the Human Relations Commission. Please apply. Even if you don't want to apply, please come give public comment. Again, we definitely want to hear from you. This work requires everyone. I cannot be the voice for everyone, so we have to hear from other folks in our community.
Good point. Matt, you're never short on words. Go ahead.
Oh, come on, Fred. Well, you know, like Sam and I really love this work that we are doing. We are honored to be able to do this work. Once you get to know us, you're going to learn that this work is both personally important to us based on our own lived experiences. This work is professionally important to us based on our professional experiences. I have worked in county government for the last 12 years. I formerly worked for child welfare in Santa Barbara County. And then after that, before coming to the city, I worked in behavioral health. the impact that we have on a community at this city level is direct, it's tangible, and the work of diversity, equity, inclusion is truly for all of us. We are focused on the inclusion part of it. We don't want folks to be excluded in these conversations. We also lean into the discomfort of having really tough conversations. In the day and era of social media, where you can just get online and say whatever you want to say and not have any like accountability or reciprocal feedback, that doesn't move us forward together as a community. And that's part of the reason that we are doing this work and why city council and our mayor and city staff are so behind this work, is because it's about all of us. We are public servants, so we are here doing the work for our community. Like I said earlier, we are looking to harness our diversity, which is our differences, and turn those into strengths. When it comes to equity, we don't want to see inequity within our community. We want to make sure that everybody has fair, equal access to city services, to city programs, and that they have a voice. And then when it comes to inclusion, it's really about making sure that we are including everybody that lives, works, visits, or is going to school within the city of San Luis Obispo. I will add on top of that, based on Rosemary's call earlier about our children, they are the next generation. And, you know, as they grow and learn, we want to make sure that they're included in this process. We have an elementary school coming up, I think, this month or next month, that's going to be visiting City Hall. And we really want to make sure that everybody has access and belongs within our city. So thank you for allowing us to come on and have a convo with you.
Thank you for having a conversation with us about this. Okay. This has been Central Coast Voices. Thank you for listening to us today. I want to remind you that next week on Central Coast Voices, we're taking the day off since it's Thanksgiving. Be sure to tune into the Splendid Table's annual Thanksgiving show called Turkey Confidential. Francis Lamb takes calls and comes to the rescue of Thanksgiving cooks, kitchen helpers, and dinner guests during the biggest holiday cooking day of the year. This will be the program next week, because we're taking the week off for Thanksgiving also. Central Coast Voices is a project of KCBX Public Radio, and we appreciate their production support for this. You can reach us at voices@kcbx.org. Thank you to Brad Kyle, our in-studio engineer, and thank you to my guest today, Matt Penton. Now I'm getting terrible with name. And Samantha Vaithavanam. Okay. Anyway, this has been Central Coast Voices. Thank you for joining us.